You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain.
Hey folks, Joey Chaos here. You are listening to Oh No Radio on CJSF 90.1 on that FM dial. And as promised, this is our interview with the king himself. No, not the orange man from down south, thank God. but King Bob, also known as Jackson McDonald, also known as one of my really close friends for ever and a day. Jackson, King Bob, welcome to Oh No Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I find that the easiest workaround is for discussing King Bob is that, you know, I'm like King Bob is a character that I absorb, or that I guess inhabit on stage, on socials, on the record, and you know, when you speak to me, I'm his earthly representative, I guess. So that's nice. Fine. I can be Jackson. That's not a big deal. I've already had to be Jackson on a few other shows, and it would be extremely difficult to try to do this in character when I've known you since, I think technically we met when I was 14. So
that would be pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. 'Cause that would have been Yam in Parksville.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. For listeners out there, what is the YAM in Parksville?
Well, it was it stood for the Youth Art Market, but really what it was basically an all ages DIY venue that did the kind of, you know, community center stuff that you would expect of that sort of place. So that's where I played my first shows when I guess I was about, you know, 16 thereabouts, and we would have played a show together at some point, or I would have just been in the audience for a show at some point.
Oh, what was your band? Not the Clay Pots. What was it?
The Fresh Pots.
The Fresh Pots.
Yeah,
I think
my teenage band. Yeah.
I think I got a Fresh Pots album kicking around my house.
I've done my best to scrub that from the internet as much as possible, but there's a lot of CDs still flying around.
Yeah, you're in trouble, bud. I keep everything.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm really stoked that you're on the show. And before we even get to King Bob, you're also a podcaster as well, aren't you?
That's true. Yeah, I've had a podcast, Roxy Fever, covering the Vancouver Canucks for, quite, you know, off and on, very off and on for several years since before the pandemic. So
they won last night, didn't they?
Five or something. They did. They did. They have Quinn Hughes. Life is good as long as that's the case.
Last night being, we're recording this on November 6th right now, so that time stamp is really important because yesterday on November 5th, the Canucks won.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
And there was no other earthly event that happened then.
The most notable thing that happened. Yeah, that's right.
But this is still really fresh, and it's going to be a little bit dated, but how are you feeling about, like, the election in the States right now?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because Evan, who is the drummer in King Bob and the producer of the record and probably all stuff that we put out for the foreseeable future, we actually got together last night to hammer out a ton of business stuff. We're ordering vinyl, which is really exciting.
Nice.
Evan's little tiny infinitesimal, you know, label, quote unquote, that is essentially just an umbrella to release music under, Last Marmot, has existed for probably over 10 years now. But this will be the first actual Last Marmot record on Last Marmot Records. So we're both really excited about that. And so we got together and we were working on all this business stuff, and we didn't know the results yet, but it was kind of going on in the background. And I've just been extremely prepared for this. This has happened once before. And I was saying to him today after, you know, filling out the order and talking a little bit about what happened last night, that, and this is a very small thing, but it just feels, I guess, really good to be doing something that has a a general, like, sort of defiant, like, fist in the air attitude about this kind of thing. What's old is new again, for better or worse, mostly worse. But I tried really hard with this record because it was about going through some of the hardest things I've ever gone through in my life. And that's reflected on the songs. I tried to keep this attitude of not just hope, but, you know, I know I'm not supposed to swear, but a very, like, fuck you attitude. You can bleep that one out. Because I had to say the word, I think, in this instance.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's a keeper.
Because ultimately, the problems that we are beset by are larger than any one person can really do anything about. But the second you give up or lose hope, first of all, what are you even doing at that point? And second of all, I'm a rock and roll guy. Rock and roll is still about sticking it to the man, and you can't let the man get you down. And I don't know how much that theme comes through on the album. I would like to think that it does a lot, but one of the reasons that, like, as a sports fan, one of the reasons that King Bob has abounded with references to sports and sports metaphors and everything is because one thing you learn as a sports fan, particularly a Vancouver Canucks fan, is to live with failure and disappointment, and also against your better judgment, keep coming back and hoping that this time it'll be different. So I guess what I would say is, like, bad for the world, maybe not the worst thing for King Bob.
Yeah,
it's you know, it's tough, but it's almost sort of one of those things, I guess, where I'm disappointed by the result, but I was so disappointed by everything that led up to it that it kind of felt like either way we'd already lost.
Yeah, and, like, I totally get what you're saying there, and, like, I almost felt this strange sense of relief in a way that we don't have to be masking anymore our politics. Like, I know a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know, like, especially in the arts, and I mean, this is a big generalization, but I feel like it's only been the last couple of years again in the arts that there's been a resurgence in, like, political art and politics. Yeah, totally. And activism and art, like, especially in the, like, the aughts, like the 2010s, like, it seemed like politics was really removed from art, and maybe that was, like, maybe that's a privilege thing, maybe we're pretending it was the good times because we had the fun Dems were in or something like that. Yeah. And we're fucking Canadian. Well, there's me swearing, but we're Canadian, and this is, like, ingrained in our mind, this American politics down south, that, like, going back to my point, is that I feel like we don't have to mask anymore, and, like, also just, like, we don't even have to pretend that we're supporting politicians that we don't actually like that support, much.
We're like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, I would much rather stand for things than for any person, especially when at this sort of degenerated state, the idea of being a part of a political party also feels like it's meaningless, like, or less meaningful than it's ever been, I guess. It's hard when things like this happen, but I know what I stand for. And there's a line in Angus that I'll paraphrase basically, but it's basically like, I don't know much, but I know that we deserve better than what we have. And I have some American friends who I was speaking to today, and that was the message that I had for them, was, I was like, hey, you deserve better than this. Just don't forget that. Like, don't let anybody tell you otherwise, and don't let anybody tell you it's, like, not your fault, or that it's your fault for, like, not voting hard enough or something, you know? Like,
yeah, it's again what you said about it's beyond any one person. I mean, yeah, it is, and that's just something to remember, and, like, all we can do is keep coming back, keep trying and just not giving up, because it's, I don't know. I think I have this like stupid gene in me that makes me really optimistic. Like, it's almost like the worse it gets, I'm like, oh no, we got this. We're going to get through this. It's going to be terrible, yeah, but we're going to get through it. And like, I don't know. I think you just got to keep going with that sometimes.
Yeah, I think for me, it's because I guess, you know, the first time this happened, I would have been, I guess, you know, 23 or something like that. And my life was not great, and it was about to get way worse. And now that it's happened again, it's like, don't get me wrong, the idea of 12 years of this, of my adult life, is like horrendous. But I think because I've come out the other side of it, I feel not necessarily better about the state of the world or better about anything. And I certainly don't want to give the impression that I am like, well, I'm better off now, so it's fine and it doesn't matter, because it's not like that at all. It's more that it's like, oh, I'm doing okay enough now that I am in a position to fight, to actually do something about it, to actually try to talk to people, try to win hearts and minds. But also, like, you know, I I'll just lay it on the table. Like, in 2020, I text banked for Bernie Sanders, because that was the first thing I had seen in my lifetime that was a political electoral movement that was something that I felt that I could sign my name to. That was like, okay, that's basically what I believe is all that stuff. Now at this stage, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's anything else that I relate to in that way. But as soon as it comes along, I'll be happy to sign my name to it again. And this time I'll be smarter, better off, have more time on my hands, not just horrifically depressed and feeling like I have the boot of life and the man on my neck at all times, you know?
It's two boots too many, my friend. You're just tuning in right now, this is Oh No Radio on CJSF 90.1 on that FM dial. I am your host, Joey Chaos, and I am talking to King Bob, also known as Jackson McDonald. Jackson, you kind of touched on a couple points, and I know you personally as a really good friend, and like, a lot of this album is maybe not a catharsis, but dealing with catharsis, going through life, going through things. I'm just wondering if there's a song that we could listen to that kind of encapsulates, I don't know, maybe the essence of the album, or just something you want to share, and we could talk about that after.
I feel like the best place to start is probably Angus.
But I deserve better than this, but I guess this is what I got in the meantime.
This is Bird Note. Rita McMahon started New York City's only wild bird rehab center in her apartment in 2005. But after years of hard work, she needed a better location.
In 2012, we opened our storefront in a lovely landmark building, and I got to move out the 60 birds that were in my apartment on my husband's birthday. It was a nice present.
The Wild Bird Fund has grown to see more than 7,000 birds each year. They see lots of pigeons, a lot of birds for lead poisoning, but during migration season, there's one common culprit.
Right now, the great majority are from the window collisions. Like last weekend on Saturday, 26 in one day. That's a lot.
Most birds don't survive the impact with glass in the first place. If they do make it, many have concussions or broken bones. Only about a third of the birds brought to the Wild Bird Fund for window collisions survive.
So when it comes to us, we see our job as really what we're doing is hospice. Stop the suffering, make the end as comfortable as possible.
Saving birds from this unhappy end requires rethinking the way we design buildings. And New York City is on the cutting edge of that challenge. This past December, the New York City Council passed legislation that will require builders to use at least 90% bird-safe materials for the bottom 75 feet of a building. That's where the vast majority of collisions occur. Maybe in the future, Rita will see fewer birds at her rehab center. For Bird Note, I'm Ashley Ahern.
Hey, folks, Joey Chaos here, and you are listening to Oh No Radio on CJSF 90.1 on that FM dial. We're broadcasting to you over the stolen and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Peoples. On today's show, we got a very special guest, Jackson McDonald, who is actually King Bob. King Bob is a phenomenal pop punk musician from Vancouver. I'm in Vancouver, from Victoria, BC. Sorry, Jackson. A lot of Vancouver content on the show.
Of course.
Just released his latest album, Rookie, and we just listened to the track Angus. So, Jackson, we didn't actually talk about music at all in the first 13 minutes of the show. So tell me about the song
preamble.
Angus. It was fun. I missed you, man.
Yeah, no, it's fair. So the reason I wanted to start with this one is because it dovetailed nicely from what we're just talking about. And this is like I sort of go back and forth. It's a 17 song album, so there's a lot in there. But I would say that it's probably the most personal song on the record. It's about a couple different things. It's primarily about my grandpa, who Angus McDonald, who was a huge influence on me in my life for a bunch of reasons. He campaigned for Medicare. There's a picture of my dad when he was probably like 5 years old, standing next to Tommy Douglas. And I don't want to give anybody the impression that I'm some kind of NDP partisan or anything, because as far as I'm concerned, they've screwed a bunch of stuff up too. There are no heroes in this story, I guess you could say. But you know, the older I get, the more I think about how so many things that he used to go on about all the time, he was basically, at least in essence, correct on. And there are some things that I think about sometimes, like my man lived to be 81 years old and never had a credit card, because he was like, those things are evil. It's all crap. And that is now, as a 31 year old man, that is so cool. That's so cool. And so that's kind of what the first part of the song is about. And then the second verse is, it's actually more about myself and my life and some of the hard times I've had. When I had started work on what became this album, I experienced a house fire, and we were without housing for a good year, and then we were into temporary housing for another 6 months, and the temporary housing was real bad. They tried to force us into another lease. It had ants. It was drafty. It was just a really awful place. And it got me thinking about kind of how, like, you know, the fight for better lives for people is not a thing that gets, you know, to get back to the to what we were just talking about before the song break. Like, it's not a thing that you fix in 4 years. Like, I'm in some small way, like, trying to fight for the same stuff that my grandpa was trying to fight for 60 years ago. But it's ultimately a triumphant thing, because even in spite of all these hardships and, like, being homeless and losing half my stuff, like, I think, I don't know, the chorus of the song is, I'm still here. And I think a lot of people who woke up this morning, I hope that's how they feel, you know, is like something bad happened, but it's like, you're still here. Nothing happened to you. You can still, you know, you start fighting for other people, and then that's how you fight for yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's really beautiful sentiment there. I want to talk a little bit more just about, like, the album itself. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to talk about Rookie. I want to know why it's called Rookie, and just it's a phenomenal listen, first of all, and I just really, really enjoyed the power behind it too. I think it's one of your most powerful releases as well, and I really feel, I don't know, this fulsome sense of confidence in it, which is really nice to see in music in general, but also in you as a friend. But I just want you to tell me a little bit about the album.
Okay, well, I guess we'll start from the point of a lot of these songs are very old. Figure It Out is so old that the original version of it, I think,
was that a Bridge People jam?
I think it was a Fresh Potts jam, man.
Damn, because I've heard that song before.
Yeah, exactly, right. I guess on some level I understand, maybe now in a way that I didn't before, like, why that song in particular has connected with people. But it's a song about getting older, that I literally got older in the process of finishing it. And I started from a point of being, you know, 21 or something. And then now I'm 31, and the record is coming out, or has just come out. And, you know, I collected a bunch of these songs over time. Some had been sitting for quite a while, and then I was feeling kind of ready to finally tackle and take on the world. I got engaged in December of 2019. And then I was like, this is great. 2020.
What happened then?
We're going to get married. I'm going to start work on this band, and things are going to get better. And I was right, but I was definitely naive about how long that was going to take. The whole world shut down, and I had all this time on my hands, but I was also like, man, did I miss the boat? Am I ever going to get to do any of this stuff again? So that seeped into a lot of the songs on the record as well. And then we started work on actually recording the damn thing, I'm almost guessing at this point, but I'm going to say like 2.5 years ago. And we sort of learned what the band was going to be and how we were going to do this and how we were going to approach the process of recording in the process of actually doing it. And so it was kind of a combination of, I guess, like, knowing which ideas are the good ideas, and then knowing where to improvise or where to be open to change. And so the name of the record and the cover especially, were we came upon them in the process of having better and better ideas. So first somebody, I think it was Evan, had the idea of what if we did like a hockey card thing, and as the cover. And I was like, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll see if I can find a picture of myself with a hockey helmet on or something from when I was a kid or skating, or and couldn't find that. And then somebody had the idea of what if I looked beat up, and then the album title Rookie just kind of seemed perfect because it's a debut. It's about arrested development in some sense. So it's, you kind of have this goofy, like, oh, I'm a rookie and I'm 31 years old. I also honestly, you know, with when it came out, it's, you know, it's not even a month old yet, but it came out on, technically on October 18th, which is almost off by one day, 30 years to the date of the release of the, Welcome to Paradise single, by Green Day. I'm wearing a Green Day redundant shirt right now.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And it was just like, this is kind of perfect. Like, it's one letter off from Dookie. It's coming out on like around the 30th anniversary. Because we're so steeped in that. Like, even whether, regardless of whether we wanted to be or not, I don't know. It all just kind of came together and it all just felt kind of perfect. And I saw them in Seattle a month before the album came out, and it just felt like, this is perfect. This is exactly what we should be doing. And you know, the real heads, the intrepid listeners out there may notice that the first song on the album closes in a very, very similar way to the way the first song on Dookie does. So it all just was this perfect, like, synchronicity, I guess.
And I got to say that the first track on the album was one of my two favorites on the album. Great way to open the album. And it was Something Belonging to Others, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's give that track a listen right now.
Sure, absolutely.
And if you're just tuning in, this is Joey Chaos. You're listening to Oh No Radio on CJSF 90.1 on your FM dial. And I am talking to King Bob, the artist also known as Earth Name Jackson McDonald. And yes. He just released his latest album, Rookie. And we are about to listen to the track, Something Belonging to Others.